Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Little secret in basketball I'm not sure if you know about. It's the same secret in football I'm not sure if you know about. Okay, so Michigan State in basketball. Powerhouse, right? Juggernaut. A team that could very well make it to the Final Four, not just this year, but any year. Fair? Of course it is. Of course it is. For their basketball team, Tom Izzo is a marvelous head coach. And I have a tremendous amount of knowledge of their basketball history. One, because I've covered it. And two, because I nearly went there. Now, you go back to 1994. Tom Izzo called me from the delivery room of his first baby. And said, I'm going to be the next head coach at Michigan State. He was a longtime assistant under Judd Heathcote. I'd like you to be my point guard. He put the doctor on the phone. His first year, he was 16-16. His second year, they were 17-12. Those would have been my first, those were my first 2 years in college. So go back and look at those years. When they were 16-16, right, Michigan was 21-11 in the same league. The next year, Michigan was 24-11, but they were under investigation because, remember the name Mateen Cleaves? You guys remember that? Well, Mateen Cleaves was a superstar point guard and I believe defensive back. He was the big recruit. And on his recruiting visit to Michigan, they got into a car accident. And when they got into that car accident, it was discovered that the now deceased Robert Traylor's car belonged to his grandma, who hadn't worked in years. They did some tracing, some checking, some background work, etc. And what they found out was that there was a booster in Detroit that had helped some of the Michigan players and given them some money, and that's how he got the money for the car. Fast forward to when Michigan State won the national championship. 15-1, 33-5 overall. What happened to Michigan that year? Well, they were on probation, 5-11 in the league, 12-19 overall. Eventually, that record was turned to 0-19. Mateen Cleaves didn't go to Michigan where every kid was going to go if they could at the time. Instead, he went to Michigan State, where he's the MOP of the national championship. If not for the downfall of Michigan, Michigan State probably never happens. I love Tom Izzo. I think he's a marvelous coach. But the greatest coaches of all times can only do it if they have players, and sometimes if their arch rival is down a little bit, right? You go back to when Iowa State was last close to the top of the Big 12. What happened? Nebraska was a mess. Oklahoma was a mess. Texas was a mess. My first year at Oklahoma State was 1997, right? And John Blake was in his last year at Oklahoma, and Coach Makovic was in his last year at Texas. Those programs were epic, abject disasters. When those big programs are down, oftentimes it helps propel these lesser programs. That's one of the things that's happened in Indiana. Is Indiana good? Sure. But they also benefit from the fact that Penn State's down, Michigan's down. And Michigan State's kind of down, right? New coach. I bring that to the conversation over last night with the Eagles. Were the Eagles really good 3 years ago when they won a Super Bowl? Of course they were. But we should also point out that within their division, that was the year that the Giants imploded because they tried to sit down Eli Manning. So Ben McAdoo and their GM and everybody else was fired. That was the year that Ezekiel Elliott was suspended last six games of the season and the Cowboys went from a playoff team to a non-playoff team. That was the year that Aaron Rodgers was hurt. That was the year that Sam Bradford started the first game for the Vikings and then didn't start, so they had Case Keenum. That was the year of the Minneapolis Miracle, which meant that instead of playing New Orleans, a really good team, they played the Vikings, the Eagles did, played the Vikings in the second round of the tournament, second round of the playoffs. Even the teams they played, the Falcons, open air, weren't great, coming off a Super Bowl loss. The Falcons had the ball at the 2 yard line, minute five to go, fourth and two. And there's a fade pass in the end zone that Julio Jones dropped. It was a little underthrown. The point is that the Eagles were good, but the rest of the NFC was really down. That helped propel them. And then they made all these mistakes where they basically said, hey, you're good. We won a Super Bowl. Let's do it again. Let's re-sign everybody. And what happens when you re-sign older players is, hey, they break down. They break down. And then you miss on draft picks. Right? They took Jalen Reagor. They could have had Jefferson or Ayuk or Chase Claypool. They take last year, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, big wide receiver, but not really agile. They could have taken D.K. Metcalf. Could have had Terry McLaurin. How much better are they? So they drafted poorly. They've overpaid some of their players to have some sort of loyalty. And those guys have turned around and gotten old or gotten hurt. And then, I mean, what's the difference between Belichick and Howie Roseman? Quarterback. Not only is the quarterback playing poorly and without confidence, but he's so massively and grotesquely overpaid, and as he hurt the cap, something that Brady didn't do for a good portion of his career, that you can't get rid of him. They've drafted poorly, signed the wrong players, and overvalued their guys that they have. Classic mistakes of a team that hadn't been successful in a long time, finally is successful and decided that they were going to double down on their success with their guys, and it's backfired. This is not to say that Carson Wentz isn't playing poorly. He is. This is not to say that he doesn't have a crisis in confidence, which he does. These two things can be mutually exclusive. He can play poorly, but it's also a reflection of the fact that the Eagles have mismanaged their entire franchise after having great success. Look, your coaching staff is going to get vultured when you win. And there were a lot of questions. You know, Michael Lombardi used to come on our show. He's got his own podcast. He goes on other shows. And that year, he eviscerated Doug Peterson. Well, Doug Peterson's still there. They don't appear to be nearly as well coached. And all of those assistants are gone, including Frank Reich, who's doing a great job in his own right over in Indy. That gets exposed as well. So I think we've gotten to the bottom of exactly what's going on. And the only question is, how do you possibly fix it? How do you possibly hope to fix it if you're a team like the Philadelphia Eagles? Because you can't really replace your quarterback. And he clearly has some stuff in him. Can you get it back? I don't know. But I do know that the current status of the franchise is they haven't drafted well. They have some bad contracts. They have a lot of age. And as much as you want to do things over, like, you can't redo it with the quarterbacks. You have to redo it with the coaching staff and with some of the players. What a mess. That's an organization that's not used to winning big, finally wins big, thinks they've cracked the code. Their guys are better than everybody else's guys, and they stuck with them. Coming up next, have the Seahawks fixed their fatal flaw? We'll discuss that. But first, the deluxe griller's assortment includes a vast variety of entrees and desserts. What's it from? It's from Omaha Steaks. So before the show, I posted this. I had a burger on my grill. I just got a new gas grill. Perfectly aged, 100% American grain finished steaks for the ultimate in tenderness, juiciness, and flavors. Omaha Steakhouse experience delivers anything you need from classic steakhouse dinner, iconic steaks, classic sides, and decadent desserts and more. Every order is flash frozen, vacuum sealed, safely delivered in a cooler with dry ice, and ready to cook in a freezer for months. It's amazing. If you want to deliver the perfect gift, like, have you been on Cyber Monday? You're trying to find some stuff? Simplify. You have a guy who your dad, your brother, your uncle, or yourself, you know, like, what did I pick out for you, honey? I'll order it myself. The perfect gift, Omaha Steaks, right to your door. Get the jump on holiday shopping today. all backed by 100% money-back guarantee. OmahaSteaks.com, type in Doug in the search bar to shop for the best gourmet gifts of the season. That's OmahaSteaks.com, type in Doug in the search bar.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
In celebration of Fox Sports Radio's 20th anniversary, we're naming the top 20 athletes of the past 20 years, from 2000 all the way to 2020. Last week, we revealed number 16 through 20. Number 16 was Sid the Kid Crosby. Number 19 was Barry Bonds, the juicer. Race car driver Jimmy Johnson finished 18th. Mario Rivera was 17th. Steph Curry, 16th. Numbers 11 through 15 of the top athletes of the century will be revealed tonight for The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker at 9:30 Eastern and 6:30 Pacific. That's tonight, 9:30 Eastern, 6:30 Pacific on The Odd Couple right here on Fox Sports Radio to find out who the next five are on that list. Huh. All right. Let's get to the current teams instead of we go to the past. The Seahawks defense the last three games, 20 points a game, 12 sacks, 4 takeaways. Now, should be pointed out, Carlos Dunlap, who's been a big addition, is getting an MRI today. An MRI is never, ever, ever a good thing. It's just not, nobody goes and he's like, you know, my foot hurts. Let's get an MRI. But I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Like, these things just do not happen. So have they fixed their Achilles heel? I guess. You know, they still lost to the Bills, lost to the Rams. The Cardinals, borderline playoff team, they did beat. So, yeah, they've fixed some things. They went out and threw some money at it. They're figuring out how to use Jamal Adams. And remember, they got the Giants and the Jets the next, and then the Washington football team. They should win their next three games. They should have 11 wins going into their rematch with the Rams. And then you'll get Niners last game of the season. The Niners won't be playing for anything. Like, that is a 12 wins almost guaranteed, probably 13 if I've ever seen it. Have they fixed it? Depends on Dunlap and whether or not he's okay. It's also important to point out that they have flaws, but so does every team in the NFC has major flaws. Beyer, do you think they fixed, just so you know, for people to know, Dan Beyer, you can check him out on Red Zone Radio on the weekends. Of course, gives us our updates and helps us on game and the press. He is our noted and notable Seahawks fan. Do you think they fixed their defense?
I don't think that it's totally fixed. I think it's better, but I don't think that it's fixed. I do think that...
Is it rigged? I'm just kidding.
I do think that the health of Chris Carson and Carlos Hyde combined with better defensive play makes them a much better team than we saw a few weeks ago, whether it be in L.A. or whether really in Buffalo where they just gave up all those points. That's where I think that the Seahawks will be a better team because of the health of the running backs, which, by the way, isn't a given for the rest of the season. Chris Carson has the injury history and... He's been out a while, but returned last night. It seemed like it was a different team, and I think that's going to take some pressure off the defense as well.
You know, it's a great point you make in that, and I think you made this without saying it. Like, what people have to understand is having a great running game lengthens the amount of time you're on the field, keeps your defense off the field. So your defense isn't great. You don't want them to be on the field for, you know, 70, 80 plays, you know, 60, correct, 70 plays. You want them off the field, and you have to have a running game in order to do that. And that's one of the things that the old let Russ cook sounds like a good idea, but it's really not, in that you're trying to protect your defense. You're trying to protect Russell Wilson, and the best way to do both of those is to run the football.
Absolutely, and I think that you are more likely to see, and by the way, we touched a little on this in the fantasy podcast, the new one out today, I Want Your Flex, just about that, is now you've got the Seahawks and other teams who are trying to, you know, position themselves for a playoff push down the stretch. You may not see those 45 to 41 games that you are accustomed to seeing through the middle of the season because there's more to play for. And I think the Seahawks are the perfect example of they're also going to play differently now with this run game. And Rashad Penny is returning at some point, you'd think, from his knee surgery a year ago. So the Seahawks could have three running backs that I know that they would love to move in and out so they don't
get worn down. Yeah, it's crazy, right? You go from no running backs to three. And last year, remember, for the playoffs, they had to get Marshawn Lynch because they had lost all three running backs.
Yes, yep.
So they're getting healthy. The Dunlap injury or the whatever's going on with his foot is the one thing that gives me pause.
Yeah, and they've been pretty good against the run. Bobby Wagner has made a great play last night with Dallas Goedert. They also signed Snacks Harrison, and he saw action last night. So they did add pieces. Just they didn't do anything in the offseason, which was a big surprise because there were names out there. And now as you see how those names have played out, Clowney really hasn't done much in Tennessee and has been hurt lately. Yannick Ngakoue ends up, now on his third team in the span of a season. So maybe now John Schneider maybe fooled everybody by not doing anything.
Well, I think that, I was a proponent of not signing Jadeveon Clowney. Just he wanted crazy money, and there was a reason nobody was bought in on him because of work ethic and injuries. And I think that played out to be totally true. So it's fascinating to me, on how the Seahawks identified the problem in the regular season and have decided to fix it then, whereas, as you pointed out, they didn't fix it in the offseason. That said, the defense is better. They are stopping the run well. And if they have Carlos Dunlap, he did have the big sack a couple weeks ago to win a game. And I think they're better, and they're probably good enough. If he's hurt now for a substantial amount of time, regular season's not really going to matter, because I feel like there's only one game in their schedule they could lose, and that's the Rams. The rest of their schedule, it's really hard to see them losing a game the rest of the year outside of that.
Yeah, the Washington game now is a little tricky, because you see what Washington did on Thanksgiving and you're like, okay. But the next two, especially with Daniel Jones likely out for the Giants, for sure. I would say that the 49ers, though, depending on how the season goes, they are 5-6. The Niners have that game against Arizona coming up, so they aren't necessarily completely out of it. Maybe the Niners will have something to play for. But yeah, their next 2 weeks should be cakewalks for the Seahawks.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. We got a lot of things I want to get to with our next guest, because Mike Sando has covered the Seahawks for the Tacoma News since 1998. He still writes for Pro Football Weekly, USA Today Sports, and he does Seahawks work. Plus, he writes for The Athletic. He does an outstanding job. The Football GM podcast, which he is part of, talks about the Eagles. So I want to get to Eagles-Seahawks, a team he knows so well, that took place last night at the Link. He joins us in the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Let's start with our discussion we were just having, because we've had a lot of Wentz, a lot of Eagles discussion. We just started talking about the Seahawks. Do you think, and I know Dunlap's getting an MRI today, do you think they fixed their defense to the point where they can win in the playoffs with it?
I think they can win in the playoffs. I don't know that they can go all the way. Part of the reason I think they can win in the playoffs is because the NFC's got a bunch of teams that are, pretty good but flawed. You're not just seeing that. They're not going to run into Kansas City on that side of the bracket. We got to figure out what's going on with the Saints at quarterback, right? Green Bay, I think, flaws on defense. I think offensively their weapons show up as a problem sometimes when they get pressure. So, yeah, I think they're in the mix. I think they're flawed, Seattle is. But, they're going to win a lot of games down the stretch because they play a bunch of bad teams and bad offenses. I think they'll win the division. Their defensive ranking will continue to improve because they're playing bad teams. But ultimately, I think they still need to get better on that side of the ball next year to maybe really go all the way.
Yeah. I think running the football and getting the running backs healthy will help their defense, keep the defense off the field and shorten the game a little bit.
Yeah, that's what Pete wants to do. But, to me, they've always, either way, whether they're running more or passing more, the explosive play is a huge part of it. And you saw Pete Carroll just go nuts, and he always does. But on the deep ball yesterday, those have come a little harder recently. They only had a couple of those, big plays against Arizona. The offense doesn't look like it's just fully cohesive to me. And so they've got some time now. I think part of that is just having Chris Carson back, right? I mean, just getting your guys on the field together, and they have a chance to hit stride against some kind of, somewhat shaky teams, and I think they probably will.
Mike Sando joining us in the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. How much of it do you put on Wentz, and how much of it do you put on the organization for drafting poorly, re-signing older players, even giving Wentz this gigantic contract? Yeah. What's the percentage of Wentz as opposed to organization?
Well, I think it's mostly on organization which causes Wentz, right? I mean, I think if the organization around almost any quarterback is really good, you're going to get the best out of the quarterback. You're going to get, more out of him. We see that everywhere. I mean, I did a column on Monday about what should happen with Matthew Stafford. And to me, the comp is Carson Palmer. Carson Palmer in Cincinnati was totally different than Carson Palmer in Arizona. The difference was in Arizona, you had a top 10 defense, right? I mean, the team around you and the coaching makes a huge difference for these guys. Wentz has some talent, and I'm not saying he's great, but I think he's gone off the rails because certainly he could be better, but because what's around him is just a mess. And where's the creativity of the coaching, right? I mean, they talk all week about this package for Jalen Hurts, and then he goes in and throws a couple passes that anybody could throw. You know, I mean, isn't that symptomatic of what are we doing? What's our plan? Are we on the same page personnel-wise? Kept a bunch of old guys? I mean, you know, they are where they are for a group effort, but I think Wentz would look better if it was better around him, for sure.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. That is the voice of Mike Sando. And Mike, I'm fascinated by it because there's not really much that they can do, right? They can't get out of that deal. I don't know how you fix it.
Well, no. And so to me, it's like I'd be very surprised if Doug Peterson returned. I think that's going to be one thing that happens for sure. And then the question is, how far does Jeffrey Lurie go? You know, through the remaining five games or whatever it is, does it get so bad that he's not only not coming to the games, but he decides to make the move with Howie Roseman as well? And I don't know if he's going to do that. He never has before. But it's never been quite this bad in such a winnable year for the division. What if they lose out? You know, then I think almost anything could be on the table. Either way, I think they need some outside eyes. That was one thing Randy Mueller and I talked about on our podcast today, and Randy's been in these situations, and he's like, they need outside eyes on their personnel operation and outside input because what they've done hasn't worked, and you have to evaluate your own talent well. If you can't do that, it doesn't matter about anything else, and they tried to keep that window open by re-signing a bunch of guys that haven't worked out.
Yeah, that was it. That was a massive, massive mistake. Mike Sando joining us in the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Three GM jobs open as of now. There'll be more probably. And when you look at them, I think there's a lot of people that go, well, Houston's got the best player. That's one. And then, you know, Detroit's been an abject disaster, but you're going to get to hire your own coach. And then you got Jacksonville. I feel like Jacksonville's the best. They got the most cap space. They're going to have a high draft pick. And oh, yeah, by the way, that high draft pick is from close to that area if it's one of the two quarterbacks. I feel like Jacksonville is far and away the best, as opposed to Houston. And I like Deshaun, but there's a ceiling there. And you already have the big contracts. You don't have first-round draft picks. Like, I feel like Jacksonville's the best job.
Yeah, I think that could be true. Certainly, you're going in with a very easy bar to clear, right? I mean, they've been horrific. So if you're just mediocre and make them into an 8-8 team for 5 years, I mean, you've succeeded. You've done what no one's been able to do despite an endless supply of top 10 picks. The owner's been very patient. From a GM standpoint, that's great. And you're going to have multiple picks in the draft, high picks, right? First rounders, you've acquired them. So I agree with you just from a blank slate standpoint. That's pretty good. I think Detroit, and by the way, we didn't mention Atlanta's in there too. I think with Detroit and Atlanta, you sort of inherit these good, not great quarterbacks that are on the back nine, and that gives you something. That gives you some ability too, right? I mean, you in Detroit, I think for sure the nice thing about that job is they let you do what you want. If you want to come in and do the Belichick Patriot way, you can do it. If you want to come in and do it Jim Caldwell's way, you can do it. So there's an opportunity to go in there, and if you felt good about Matt Stafford and could talk to him and feel like, you know, he's on board, and maybe you had an experienced hand in the front office instead of a first-time guy, and you get a coach who's got a couple skins on the wall, you know, that could turn pretty quick. That could go in a decent direction, and maybe Stafford flourishes late in his career. So, you know, each one of them is different, and you have to find out as a candidate, like, what do they really want? Do they really want change? Or do they want someone who's going to come in and fit and not step on the toes of the team president or the cap guy or all those things, right? And because that's going to determine ultimately if what you're getting into is what you think it really is. You go to Houston, Jack Easterby's there. Is that good? You know, maybe it's not.
Yeah, and no one knows what his role will be. You know, they hired a search firm. We don't know, you know, who actually makes the call there. You got a new owner who takes over for his dad, what he wants to do. Like, that is a weird gig. What, you talk to everybody in the league, what are they all saying about Tampa and Tom Brady, that relationship between he and Arians?
Yeah, well, two things. One, if there's a change this offseason, it ain't Brady. I mean, his whole deal's guaranteed next year. Brady's got a lot of juice. He's the one who sells tickets there. So if there's a divorce, Tom's not moving out of the house. Okay, that would be number one. And number two, why say these things? I mean, one guy, Tom Brady, in 1 second could talk about his 6 rings and it would be over, right? I mean, so I think there's a feeling of why does this need to be done? Why would you be, you know, possibly risking a relationship with Brady, who is probably as diligent and working as hard as anybody, right? I mean, that's always been his MO. So I thought it was probably a move in the right direction this last week. There wasn't as much of that after the loss to Tampa. Now they get a bye, and I think we're going to find out after the bye, okay, are they willing to bend this thing a little more for Brady? And I have my doubts. You know, I don't know if that's been Bruce Arians' MO, but it might be in his best interest.
Yeah, I think it would be as well. I mean, it's just, it's crazy though. The comments made publicly to me are the ones that are just like, what? I understand, Bruce, you're a guy who likes to live by the "I'll say whatever I want," but it's different with Tom Brady. You know, I mean, and you can say all those things behind closed doors, but not in public. I cannot believe what he's said and how he's talked about a first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback publicly.
Yeah, just very cavalier, you know. I mean, it's kind of endearing and refreshing when Bruce Arians was that guy who finally got the job and he's going to do it his way, dang it. But, you know, Tom Brady's a little bit of a different situation, I think, for head coach and GM there, right? I mean, you got to make this thing work over this year and next year, and is that the best way to do it? So maybe that'll die down after the bye. And really, as I pointed out in one of my recent columns, they play 4 losing teams down the stretch. If they go 3-1, they got 10 wins. It was their Vegas number was 9.5 before the year. So, you know, we overanalyze teams week to week because we have to, but they may be about what we thought they were going to be.
Yeah, no, that's a great point, a great way to look at it. Who do you have the most confidence in the NFC?
I guess it's probably Seattle at this point because I trust Russell Wilson as the one thing. That we can count on. Now, you might say the same thing with Green Bay and Rodgers, but I don't know if they've just turned it over to Rodgers the way Seattle has with Wilson this season and just let him really go after it and win the game. So I think the weaponry in Seattle with Wilson and DK and those guys maybe puts my faith in them, but sure is a week-to-week league, isn't it? I mean...
Well, I mean, we saw the Rams. Now, the Rams are the team which they can't beat San Francisco, but they manhandled Tampa and manhandled Seattle with that and without blitzing. And that's really the Rams are the team that nobody's talking about. But I think it's because people don't believe in Goff after seeing him last week.
Yeah, I think that's always going to be, you know, there's always going to be hiccups because I agree. Like if you look at the NFC West. I mean, the Rams are probably the most balanced team in the division. If they were to play Seattle 10 times, they might win 6 of them, right? But along the way, that Goff issue is going to come up at times, and they're going to play teams that are familiar with them. Heck, they only beat Seattle, 23-16? It was one of the worst games of Wilson's career. I think if they play again, Wilson doesn't necessarily have that type of game, right? Maybe he's a little bit better. At that time, and if Seattle's got the rush and comes after Goff, maybe they get to him a little more. It's close. It's close in that division. I like the Rams. I mean, I think people treated them coming into the season like a team that was 6-10, and you forget that they haven't been that. They've been good. So I do like them, and I think they'll ride it out and be better, but that was a really bad loss for them. That loss may cost them the division.
Yeah, no, it very well could, and there was a moment there where it looked like Aaron Donald took over the game, and they were right back in it, and then... And then they, you know, and then it wasn't meant to be. The offense just could not again against Nick Mullins too. Nonetheless, it's kind of bizarre. Okay, so here's a question: the NFL doesn't obviously want to cancel any games. They're going to have one tomorrow, that Ravens game against the Steelers, and then of course the Steelers are going to have to turn around and play on a shortened week. Do you think this hurts the Steelers in any way? Obviously, they're not happy about it. They haven't had a bye week, but they did kind of have this extended prep week. I'm just wondering about the last undefeated team and how you think it affects them.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think playing, you know, they're having extended rest going to that. I mean, heck, Roethlisberger was saying he wanted extra time last time. Remember, Tomlin said no, he got to come to practice. But I think they're the better team. I thought they were, you know, clearly they're going to have the better matchups in this game because of who may or may not be playing for Baltimore. So I like it for them. I think that having the game earlier in the day helps because now you're almost – those guys will be back in the office that night, you know, and they've already had now extra time to prepare for the next opponent. So I think they'll be able to ride it out. I like them to win this game, and I like them to keep on rolling.
Mike, great stuff. Thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate you being on Fox Sports Radio.
Thank you.
Mike Sando writes for The Athletic. He's covered the Seattle Seahawks for years, local radio, local print, as well, obviously, now nationally covering The Athletic, and he has his own podcast covering the entire National Football League. Is one conference making up rules to get two teams in the college football playoff? I'll tell you next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. This just in from CNBC. CDC panel says health workers, nursing homes will get COVID vaccine first. Of course, people at most risk, first responders and people in healthcare workers and in nursing homes will get that. That's great. We're getting there. Like, we're getting there. Just have patience. It's really, I'm not a patient person. I'm not. And I, you know, we get our news right away. We want our coffee right away. We want our meal right away. We want the vaccine right away. It doesn't work that way. Let's just have some patience and we will get through it and stick with us here at Fox Sports Radio. We'll be bringing the absolute best interviews, the best discussion, and weave you in and make you a part of it. Let's get to the press.
The press.
Dan Byer, what do you got?
Doug, just on the heels of that, Dr. Fauci spoke with Yahoo Sports yesterday and was asked about the possibility of fans at NBA arenas by this summer. He said that would be a bit of a stretch, but when asked about NFL stadiums coming up next fall and having full stadiums, Fauci saying that is a possibility.
Well, the big issue for the NBA is it's expensive to open up these arenas and not have people in them. It wouldn't stun me if many of these teams say, hey, we'll do all the games, okay, which is a ridiculous cost, but can we do some of them inside our practice facilities where they already have the TV setups, the new ones are already wired for it. You know, it doesn't cost you nearly as much to heat, cool the building. You're not paying all those ridiculous security fees. I wouldn't be surprised if some of that happens in some of the midweek games.
All right, Doug, moving on in college football, the ACC within the last 30 minutes or so has just announced a new plan for the rest of their regular season, which could affect the college football playoff. The conference announcing the schedule for the last couple of weeks of their season. So get this, Notre Dame and Clemson will conclude their conference schedules this weekend. They've played 8 games so far. Miami has played 7. Now the 3 schools will be evaluated for the ACC championship game based on their 9-game schedule. So that means that Florida State and Clemson will not be rescheduled, but it's very likely that if Notre Dame ends up beating Syracuse this weekend and what would be their final game, that Notre Dame likely locked in the ACC championship game already, but also then could lock up a spot in the college football playoff.
Well, yeah, it does feel like they're trying to jimmy rig it so they can get, get Notre Dame and Clemson there no matter what. And figure out how they can play, and maybe they can both get in.
Took away 2 games. Not that they would lose those games, but it does take away the possibility of them even just having to play those games, having any of the players suffer an injury in those games. You have both of those. So Notre Dame and Clemson wrapping up their regular seasons coming up this weekend. College football playoff, the latest rankings will be announced coming up a little bit later on today. As for Ohio State, we don't know where they are, but Ryan Day is not going to be able to coach if the Buckeyes play against Michigan State on Saturday. The good news for Ohio State is that the players were actually allowed to be back on the practice field today. So that is good news in advance of their game that's scheduled for Saturday.
That is good news that they're back. But it's been a weird time at Ohio State when they Michigan didn't know if they're going to play. Then Ohio State didn't know they're going to play. Now they're not going to have, or they might have, their head coach. Like, that whole thing is crazy.
Let's get to some NBA news. Golden State Warriors are delaying the start of their training camp by a day after two players tested positive for COVID-19. So instead of Sunday, they're going to get things going on Monday.
You forget how, like, wait, we're starting basketball already? Doesn't it feel like the NBA season just ended, but you realize the Warriors haven't played since February?
Yeah, I know. Jerseys are still being released right now. Like, they're just jamming everything in to these last couple of weeks before it starts. Pacers guard Victor Oladipo tonight reports that he wants out of Indiana. He'll be a free agent after the upcoming season.
I think that's because there wasn't a good enough landing spot that he liked, right? I mean, he clearly wanted out, and... you know, he didn't look great in the bubble in terms of how he played. And I think that's more what it's about than whether he wants out or doesn't want out. It's more a product of there just wasn't a good landing spot for him.
Now let's get to the National Football League. Jerry Jones today on 105.3 The Fan was asked about the Broncos quarterbacking situation this past weekend when wide receiver Kendall Hinton had to be promoted from the practice squad to play quarterback.
I don't know that Denver had any more of a challenge than we've had with DiNucci or with the young quarterbacks that we've had.
Come on. Come on, dude. I mean, Jerry, I get it. It was bad. It was terrible. The guy completely one pass for 13 yards, and he hadn't taken any reps. So come on, what are you doing?
Yeah,
no reps at all. It wasn't in the quarterback room. And all of a sudden, like, hey, dude, didn't you play quarterback in a little bit in college? Wake Forest. You want to go play quarterback in the NFL against a really good defense? Sure. Okay, let's make that happen.
I think what's getting lost in all this is poor DiNucci. You know, I mean, like, he's. You know, he's being thrown under the bus. He's being compared to guys who never have played quarterback before. Poor Ben DiNucci. More news from the National Football League. With 30.3 million viewers, Thursday's Thanksgiving matchup on Fox featuring Washington and the Cowboys was the most-watched NFL game this season, most-watched telecast in Super Bowl 54.
It's what we've been telling you for a long time. Brands sell. They just do. Brands absolutely positively sell. And if you can't figure that thing out, you know, then we can't really help you. The brands absolutely positively sell.
Last night, the Seahawks beat the Philadelphia Eagles. You talked about earlier the comments that DK Metcalf made after the game when Jim Schwartz tried to compare him to Megatron, and DK taking that as a slight. Pete Carroll weighing in today on if DK is more Megatron or something else.
Coach Schwartz can say whatever he wants. That was kind of unusual that he would bring something like that up. Megatron's kind of a thing of the past, you know, not many people know about that. I mean, if he'd have said something, referred to him like the Mandalorian, you know, I think it'd be a little more appropriate.
Oh, all right, Star Wars guys, put on your Stormtrooper helmets. Do you like this sort of comparison by one Pete Carroll?
Very nice.
I like the Mandalorian a lot. I don't understand. Like, Megatron is not that far removed. And the parallel was perfect before. So I'm going to disagree that he has that somehow he did. Is it weird? Yeah, Jim Schwartz is weird. That's not breaking information. That's not breaking news.
John Ramos, you want to weigh in?
Anytime you can bring Mando in the conversation, I'm all for it. But I do agree with Doug that Calvin... not Calvin Johnson.
Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, Calvin Johnson is not that far removed from the NFL that we'd think. It wasn't like he brought up like Fred Blitnikoff or something like that.
Yeah.
Sure. And Ryan Music.
You remind me of Steve Largent.
I always thought that DK Metcalf reminded me of like Chewbacca.
Oh, yeah.
I like that one.
I don't know if you guys noticed last night that DK's got some crazy legs Hirsch in him. I'm not sure if you guys could see that. By the way,
is he in Brian's song?
Oh.
Crazy Legs?
No, DK Metcalf.
Oh, no.
He reminds me of who's the wide receiver in the longest yard? Not the new longest yard with
Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler. No, the Burt Reynolds one.
Pete Carroll made those comments on ESPN 710 in Seattle. Finally, Doug, the Baltimore Ravens able to practice today. They are expected to leave tonight for Pittsburgh. First practice in over a week for the Ravens because of the COVID outbreak within the team.
The Rona! Because of the Rona!
How would
first practice in over a week, like you'd be fresh and rested.
Yeah.
Right?
Titans did that and they took care of the Bills.
They did.
How would DK play on Hoth? Is that for tomorrow's Doug Gottlieb show?
No, you know, there's more gravitation to pull on Hoth, and so I think he would actually be slower, but so would everybody else. Hey, get out there and press.
That was the press.
Where did you pull Hoth from? That's kind of amazing.
It's a running joke that I have with John and my lack of Star Wars knowledge.
So have you not seen any of the Star Warses?
Oh, I saw the first three when I was a kid. I used to collect the figurines. I had the Darth Vader carrying case, but then I turned 11 and that ended.
Oh, come on, man.
How is, what was I going to say? Has Lisa done the Princess Leia thing? Is that too personal?
No.
Probably too personal.
No.
Probably too personal.
No, that
All
is
right,
not.
We'll get you ready for an NFL game on a Wednesday tomorrow. That's right. That's what we're going to do. And Daniel Jeremiah will join us on the Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio.